All right, on this week's edition of the Arizona Media Podcast, I'm very pleased to have Scott Passmore with us. Scott is, I don't want to say the face of Good Morning Arizona because there's lots of faces, but he is the longest running face, and that doesn't mean a sad face. He's the longest running face at Good Morning Arizona and KTVK, having been a teammate of Scott's through 9 years over at Channel 3 and KTVK. Though not on the morning show every day, when I was on the morning show, it's a really interesting behind-the-scenes look, so I appreciate him coming on the Arizona Media Podcast. How are you?
Brad, I'm doing great. So in other words, you're calling me the old guy.
Yeah, you know what? I get that too. Brad's been here a long, long time. Long-time Valley sportscaster. That means I'm old.
It's all right. Hey, if we're still hanging in there, I'll take that any day.
That's right. How many years now for you doing morning television?
Well, I've been at Channel 3. This is my 28th year, and I've been at Channel, the morning show, since its inception. I think I started on it like 2 months after they started it. So I think about 20 for Good Morning Arizona.
The day that they came to you and said, we want you to move to mornings, what was that day like?
Well, it was a good day because I was begging to get that job. So I was doing any and everything I could with our boss at the time, Phil Avedras, to get that job. And I was the kind of the 10 o'clock reporter, so I was beating the streets, and I loved that, of course, but I just knew that I wanted to be a part of that show and be in the studio every day, which sounds kind of boring compared to being out in the streets, but you know, we get to meet so many fun people every day. It's something I honestly can say I never got tired of. I actually get really look forward to going to work every day, which is something that I think a lot of people probably don't aren't able to say.
No, there's no question about that. Let's back up then. Who touched the button in Scott Passmore to make you a broadcaster?
You know, I was probably a typical student in college at K-State in Manhattan, Kansas, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I think I went through about five different majors, and each one I got bored with very quickly. And then I just had some friends, I think, that were in the radio TV section. So I took a class, and just like everybody else, we got to go out and do some local stories, shooting each other's stories. And I just had a ball, and I said, this is it. So that's how it happened.
And
it was as simple as that.
Was there an instructor or two that really opened your eyes to it?
No, actually, my... Funny you bring that up. My instructor told me I was never going to go anywhere in this business. So. that actually made me try a little harder. He had worked in a small radio station in western Kansas, so of course he knew everything about the business. But no, that's what he said, and I guess it was because I wasn't a very good student. But I really, maybe I didn't spend a lot of time with books, but I spent all my time doing this in college. And you know, with the internships after school that you have to do, and then getting my first job in the smallest TV market in Northeast Missouri, Kirksville, Missouri.
Kirksville, Missouri. Was it affiliated with anybody?
Yeah, we were ABC, and my first story that I went out on was going out to a local farm and doing a story on his cows having foot rot. And I remember my dad buying me a suit coming out of college, and I was thinking, oh boy, I've made it big time now. And I got to this little town, and I had a suit on going out to this farm, and this farmer about laughed me off his property. What are you doing out here wearing a suit? I said, yeah, you're right.
But you've
so that was the start of the glamorous career.
But you've always had a curiosity about you. I think that when I see morning show hosts, personalities, they're able to be good quarterbacks, good left tackles to protect the blind side of their teammate, A, and B, they have to have a curiosity about a number of subjects. Is that fair to say in being good morning show host?
I think you're right about that. I don't know a lot about one subject, but I know a little bit about a lot of things. And I think that comes not so much from studying it in college, but just living life, you know, doing everything. I love business. I love real estate. I kind of like politics, not so much after this past year, but, you know, and as you know, I love sports. And so I think if you like a lot of things and you're able to speak off the cuff about those things without a script written for you, I think you can do okay.
When does your, we have people that are young that listen to this podcast. So I'm curious, as you're, when I say young, college age, when you're putting together your show, do you have downtime during the day where you just unplug from all of this and you start preparing at night? Or a lot of people I know, Scott, they're always having their radar up for what would make a good morning show piece.
I mean, I'm always listening and watching what's going on in the world. You have to be able to not be too stupid when you go on the show every morning. So, yeah, do I watch a lot of news? I do in the evening, but I would anyway because I enjoy news. That's my thing. I like that. So, but do I unplug in the day? Sure, I do. I mean, when I'm done with work, I'm done with work. I hit the gym. I'm out at Deer Valley Airport right now because I'm a pilot, and I come out here and enjoy my time. But I always have my nose in the air to what's going on. That's for sure. You have to do that.
Who do you watch, or who do you read, or who do you listen to?
I mean, I read mostly online. I mean, I love the Wall Street Journal, things like that are more in depth. But I also like, I watch Evening News, I watch Fox News, I watch CNN News, I watch MSNBC a lot. I watch the business channels. It's not that I sit in front of the TV all day, but I'll watch bits and pieces throughout the day. Some days more than others. Some days not at all. And then, when you come in the morning, we've had our meeting the day before on what's going to happen on the show. And as you know, working in television or on the radio, a lot of stuff, what you do is on the fly. I mean, you never know when the producer in your earpiece is going to say, you know, we're going to Philadelphia right now for this fire that's downtown that's consuming an entire block, and you have to be able to sit there and talk about it. Not that I know Philadelphia, but I've been out on many, many stories covering firefighters and how they attack fires, so you have to be able to talk off the cuff about how they might be attacking this fire. So you just, that goes back to just knowing a little about a lot.
Having known the news cycle and the day that it happened, I would have to think 9/11, were you on the air that day? I don't know that. Were you on the air the day of 9/11?
Yeah, we were. We absolutely were. And because at the time, Channel 3 is an independent, so we were a CNN station. So, of course, when it happened, we, like nobody else, knew exactly what happened. I mean, they thought that a private plane had flown into the building. You know, nobody knew that. And so we took CNN's coverage for the rest of the morning. So we weren't on the air, but we sat there and watched it. And we were glued to the TV just like everybody else.
Right. And because that
but
did
more
happen.
More tragically than that, I did anchor our newscast when our helicopter crashed into 15s, or when 15s crashed into ours.
Right.
And that was the worst day of my professional life. But I was at home on my day off, and they called me and said, we need you to come to the station pronto. And I only lived like 5 minutes away. And so that was a day where I had to anchor 5 hours without any scripts. We just ad-libbed for 5 hours, holding back tears, knowing that I just lost three of, workmates. That was a very difficult day.
Yeah, and I was a teammate then too of yours, so we went through that together. It was unspeakable. I guess you've got to have that ability at any given time that the viewer doesn't realize you may have something in your earpiece that you've got to be able to process and explain without having that person at home understand or see you trying to work through it. Do you know what I mean by that? And if you can explain that process of what it's like when you get told something during a break that there's something breaking, you have a minute to prep, or you have no time to prep, and how you balance that.
Most of the time it's no prep, but we wear little earpieces that you probably can or cannot see. And you have to be able to switch what you're doing on the fly. I mean, I might be mid-sentence of a story, and I'll get in my ear, we're going live to the president right now, and he's speaking in the Rose Garden about an attack or whatever. So you have to be able to stop on the fly and change course without flubbing up and making it look pretty smooth. I mean, that's the challenge of the job that we have every day, is making everything that we do look smooth on the air, so you don't think you're watching a station in Kirksville, Missouri.
How did this last election cycle, and even today, we're taping this on a Thursday in February, but how did this last election cycle and just the new presidency change the morning show, if at all?
I mean, it didn't change what we do day to day, because we have a lot of people on our show that work a lot harder than I do, that get there in the middle of the night and write scripts all morning long despite some people thinking that we had lived the news, it's all written for us.
Right.
And we're reading off a teleprompter. So, you know, there's so much talk these days because of Trump with fake news and whatnot. And there is a lot of fake news. If you get on Facebook any moment of the day, there's fake stuff on there. So it's our job to be better at broadcasting and journalism to make sure that what we put out there is both sides and that it is factual. And it is difficult because I think people in general question what we do every day because politicians say what we do is fake news as well. And it's not. I mean, I take great pride in what I read every day. Sometimes, of course, we get it wrong, but we try very hard to get it right. And that's most important that we do that every day to present both sides and get what we put out there to the public as factual as we can.
You mentioned the morning meeting or the meeting after the show, and I've talked about that a little bit on other podcasts, and I think it's very important, but I haven't talked to a morning show host about that role and that meeting. So it's nonstop in putting a morning show together, but how many people total, okay, are involved in these meetings or that meeting, and how much say do you have on the content?
I have the most say because I'm the one, it goes from my lips to the public. So if I screw it up or if it's not accurate coming out of my lips, I'm the one that gets the emails. So It's my job to make sure what we put out there is accurate. So, you know, if something's wrong, then I take the blame for it, even if I didn't write it. But that is my fault. I'm kind of one of the quarterbacks. And if I throw an interception, then I'm the one that gets blamed, as I should. But there's probably, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 people in a morning meeting, depending on who didn't call in sick that day or maybe is out on assignment. And it consists of the on-air talent, both anchors and reporters, our executive producer, our segment producers, and then our producers for each hour, depending on what time they got there. The early producers get there like at 10 o'clock at night. So they're not there for the meetings after the show, but that's what we do. We sit around, we talk about the segments that we already know are going to take place the next day. And then we brainstorm about what we should be doing. If there's something involving immigration and that woman being shipped out of town back to Mexico, then we need to do a story on that and get both sides and why it's happening and explain, you know, the whereabouts with that story. So that's what we do. We sit around, we brainstorm, and that stuff changes on the fly. You know, I just got back from a really fun story. I got to go down to the state capitol this morning, and NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson was doing burnouts down there with Governor Ducey in the car. So I didn't get to go to the meeting today because I went down and shot that and interviewed the governor and Jimmy Johnson. And so that will air tomorrow morning as well as tonight. So that's what we do. And then, you know, during the show, I mean, we've got people behind the scenes that are changing things or adding things. There's always breaking news. Phoenix is a great news market, and of course there's things going on worldwide, and so we're constantly putting new stories on the air.
How much process when you're in the show, when you're live in the show, are you saying, I would like to see more of this on the show? Or are you leaving it open to the EP and the producer of the segment? I guess what I'm wanting for the audience to know is, how big of a voice do you have in what you want to see on the show, having done it for so long? You know what works, what doesn't work.
Right, yeah. If there's something that we did and it's only in the show once, all I have to do during the commercial is say to one of our, you know, they're listening to me constantly because I'm the one wearing the mic.
Right.
And I'm in the studio for four hours, so I don't get to leave out of there much except for a quick commercial break or bathroom break. So all I have to do is say, we need to run that story again. But usually I do that before the show, so
Sure. They're
not trying to, you know, change things while we're in the midst of a show. But if there's something on there once and I want it two more times because I think it's newsworthy, it'll be done two more times, and vice versa.
Right. And from a process standpoint, when you have 10 to 15 voices, they're not always going to agree. And I'm not putting words in your mouth on that. I would think they wouldn't always agree. So how do you guys work through that in terms of process?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it boils down to the senior people and what they decide to do. I mean, And it's not just that. I mean, everybody can can decide on whether it's a good idea or not. And so we talk about it, and you know, we all agree whether it's a good idea or not. It's you know, everybody that works for Good Morning Arizona has experience, whether it's right. a couple years or, you know, 20-some years. So it's actually, there are more agreements than there are disagreements. We don't sit around and yell at each other and disagree that much. You know, one, we've got a long show. It's 5.5 hours, so right. it's pretty easy to fit everything in, you know, to fill the show, whether it be early or a little later in the show. Primarily 8 to 10, a little more relaxed. We have our guests that come on, our cooking segments, fashion shows, whatnot, things that people sitting at home might find interesting. We still have news, but we hit the news hard from 4:30 till 8 o'clock.
What do you enjoy most in a show? When you drive in and you know that it's stacked a certain way, what's a perfect Scott Passmore Good Morning Arizona show look like?
Well, first of all, flawless production-wise, because sure. production problems can make us all look bad. But and that's pretty rare. I mean, our show is pretty much run by computers. They have to enter every, and most TV stations are that way. There's nobody in the studio except one other person, Big Bob, we call him. He'll have a handheld camera. So it's really just the talent in there. The cameras are run by computers, so they're all pre-programmed. So our producers will go in, the directors, and they'll pre-program the entire 5.5 hours. So if the shot says it's me standing at what we call our quad area, which is a big screen behind me, they have to program the camera to turn towards me to stand in that area. So if I'm not in my spot where I'm supposed to be, the camera is going to be pointing at an empty screen. So I have to be in my spot. It has to be programmed right. And just a show that flows easy, a show that's fun, a show that's entertaining, but a show that's also packed with news for the day that people can take with them when they go to work. They know their weather, what it's going to be like. They know how to get to work because we've got great traffic people and Gina telling you how to get to work because of accidents or whatnot. So just a smooth flowing show that's packed with information that's very fast. I like fast moving things. And just production problem free. That's a good show for me.
You have a lot of people involved in the show, but I'm going to just go through the front facing talent that you presently have, and Olivia and Gina and April and Javier. And uh-huh. there's several others. You have your reporters in the field
and Tess
and Gibby will show up on occasion and all of that. I when you see them, what do you see in terms of progress for their careers? I'm not talking about individually, but does it make you feel good? Because you've worked with Tara in the past, and there's other names from the past, lots of people in
right.
the past, Brad,
right.
Dan, all sorts of people. And seeing them and their careers grow in this big machine that is Good Morning Arizona, if you just talk about the camaraderie and the teammates that you presently have and how that works.
Well, first of all, we're all friends. And we all like each other, and we all have each other's backs. So if something happens on the air, and maybe it's not going well for somebody else because of a production problem or what have you, somebody else will step in and help that person. We all like each other, and we all want to succeed, both individually and as a show for Good Morning Arizona. So that's the great part about it. That's why I like coming to work every day, because I honestly like the people I work with. And what you see on TV is what you get. Everybody is just like they are on TV. I love that about Good Morning Arizona, because we're not told how to act. We're not told what stories to read. We're not told what view to take on anything. We do what we feel is right. And so that's what I love about Good Morning Arizona. We're given lots of freedom to experience different segments that we feel that the viewer would want to see and enjoy. So nobody's ever telling us what to do. You know, and everybody that I work with, they all have years of experience. Some people started in Flagstaff, like Olivia and Javier worked in Flagstaff, and then they've worked their way up through the careers. Some people have left the market and come back, like Olivia just came back from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So they know things about other cities that maybe that I wouldn't know.
And we all get along really well. It's great to come to work every day knowing that we all have each other's backs. We really enjoy working with one another. And we're all in this together to succeed and have the best show as Good Morning Arizona. It's not an individual thing. It's not where I'm going with my career or Javier, because we're all here together, and it's going to stay that way until, you know, somebody leaves, if that ever happens.
Sure. How high or low do you get off of ratings?
You know, we look at them every day. It used to be the rating periods were November and February and May and July, but we get our ratings. We look at our computers every single day. We know exactly how our ratings were by the 15-minute segment. So we know if a segment didn't do well, we know if an hour didn't do well, and we know if we had a good show. Sometimes they're hard to figure out. We'll feel like we had a great show, and the numbers aren't that great. Some days we'll feel, that wasn't that great of a show, and the next day the numbers are great.
Yep.
So, you know, it's hard to really figure those things out. But we really look at it. We pay attention because that's how our advertising is based. If we have bad numbers every single day, we know that at some point management's going to make changes or get rid of some people. So we live and die by the numbers. They really are important. And right now, Good Morning Arizona is doing well. Usually, you know, Channel 10 is doing really well right now. We've been second. We're either second or tied or first. But we've been, Good Morning Arizona has been either number one or close to it for as long as I can remember. And that's pretty outstanding. I feel pretty fortunate to work for a show like that with that kind of reputation.
Sure. But there's got to be days where you feel really good. And at the end of the day, Scott, isn't it just you felt really good about it? And if the number isn't good the next day, you can't sit there and dwell on it. First of all, it's over with.
Right. And the next number could be completely, the next day could be completely different.
Right.
You know, you're right about that. Like I said, some days I'll walk home, I'll drive home and walk out of the station going, that was a really good show. And I'll come in tomorrow and I'll think to myself, God, what was the deal?
Right.
We got second, you know?
Right.
And then other days it's the opposite of that. So no, you can't get down on yourself. You know, I know what a good show feels like and everybody else does. So that's what you take with that.
A couple other questions. And I appreciate your time. When you're not working and you're traveling, you like to fly, strangest place you've been recognized?
In the Bahamas. I was on a cruise once and got off the cruise and a couple women came up to me and said, we enjoy watching you. And, you know, as long as I've been on TV, I still never get used to that because my first question was like, well, how do you know me? Oh, that's right. I forgot it. I work on TV every day. So it's funny how that happens. You get some days I won't get recognized, but then other days in the oddest places, people will say something. And the number one question they always have, what time do you go to bed?
Yep.
And what time do you get up?
Yep. They ask you about personalities too. What is so-and-so like, or why does so-and-so do this or so-and-so do that? True, false.
Yeah, you're right about that. They always, and you know what? I do the same thing. I mean, when I meet a celebrity at the, Charlie Day came in the other day. He was on Horrible Bosses, and he was the one with Jennifer Aniston. He was her assistant, if you remember that movie. And I said to him, I said, wow, what's Jennifer Aniston like? And he was telling me, she's really nice. And I mean, I'm guilty just like everybody else. So the one thing I always say about my coworkers at Channel 3 is, what you see is what you get. Everybody's just like they are on TV. That we don't have anybody that's fake. Nobody goes on TV and acts any differently than they are in real life. And that's what I love about that.
You mentioned 5.5 hours earlier. My opinion is morning TV is the last great bastion of local television. Things have changed so much. It's very hard to compete in evening news and late night news. But mornings, people get up and they'll have their routines forever, and that you're part of that routine. That said, do you think that you could be doing 6 hours, 7 hours as a morning show?
No, don't even say that. I mean, to be honest, the only time I do 5.5 hours is if, you know, another person is sick or on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, think about sitting at your desk with you really have to totally concentrate. You are 100% in. If you're not, you're going to look stupid real fast. Think about doing anything for 5.5 hours and how tired you get. I mean, it's just too long. Even 4 hours sitting there is a long time to have your head in the game and not make one error. Physically, it's one thing. You're just sitting there. But mentally, it can be a real strain. I mean, that's a long time. And I know out in L.A., KTLA, which is kind of just like our show, they now start at 4 a.m.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we don't go to 4 a.m., but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens someday. But they do switch out anchors. But some of the people, their weather and traffic people, are there that entire time. It's just a long morning. And I feel worse for the ladies on our show. I always try to give them props because I get up at 3:40. It takes me literally 20 minutes to shower and put my suit on, which I picked out the day before I come to work. I don't have any kids, and all the women on our show all have kids that they're raising. So they're moms,
yep.
They're professionals. They get up at 2:00 in the morning, and let's face it, it takes a female a lot longer doing their hair and everything than it does a guy. And so they're truly the heroes and the hard workers because they have to get up so early. They're taking care of their kids. They're taking phone calls and FaceTimes with their kids throughout the show and trying to be a mom while they're also trying to work. And so I know for the women out there that do double time, it's really difficult compared to what I do.
No, it's a really tough industry, I think, for women in particular. Just, there's pay, there's time away, there's shelf life. It's just very difficult, I think, for a female in our industry in this day and age.
Right.
Guests that you want to interview you haven't sat down across from yet. Who's on your bucket list?
Oh, my gosh, that's a good one. I just have been so fortunate. I feel like I guess world leaders, mm-hmm. Presidents, I guess. I've not had the opportunity to go to the White House and do that. But I feel like I've just been so fortunate. I've interviewed so many celebrities. I've interviewed so many athletes, so many local politicians, and that's all been enjoyable. But to be honest, my favorite story is the non-public person, that does an incredible thing. I've always thought that just everyday citizens who are out there doing amazing things. I've always gotten off doing those stories. That's the good story. So that's my favorite. So I don't sit around thinking about big names whom I'd like to interview. I want to interview the guy who, took another person's life out on the I-10 to save that DPS trooper. That's the guy I want to interview. That's the fascinating story. You know, politicians and people that are paid to do what they do. And it's okay, but that's not why I do this business.
All right. You got to give me a story of where it all went bad. It could have been a cooking segment. It could have been a live shot. It could have been something where you had a laugh attack and you couldn't recover. I don't know what it was. But
I've only sneezed a couple times on the air, but when you do, that's the great thing about morning show. I think people know that when you do 5.5 hours of live TV, things are going to happen. I mean, I've come across a word before. I know what it is. I can't say it. Just does not come out of my mouth. I've done that. You just look in the camera and you laugh it off and you say, I swear I did graduate from college at one point in my life. I mean, I think people appreciate if you can make a joke about it and move on, then more so than being too serious and taking yourself too seriously. I mean, that happens. We've had people who went off good interviews, or maybe I didn't do a very good job interviewing, and you get criticism for that. We get criticism for not covering politics the correct. People either think we're to the left. It's mostly to the left. They never think we're to the right when they could be way off base. One time on Good Morning Arizona, we have machines that play the commercials. Well, the machine broke, so we had no commercials for 5 hours. So that's not something you plan for. So we had our guests that were on doing interviews with them and making fun of, acting like commercials during what was supposed to be a real commercial.
That's good.
That's the part about doing morning show compared to evening show. Evening show people are a lot more serious. We're just a bunch of clowns in the morning, at least when we're doing those segments. And hopefully we take a moment like that and we make it fun for the viewer at home. And hopefully they're at home going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that happened. I'm glad it was them and not me.
Yeah. All right, before I let you go, last question then. So dress, when you wear the tie that doesn't work for the person at home, or you're wearing the suit that doesn't work for the person at home, and you get the call or the complaint about something, anything, nose hair hanging out, whatever it is, how do you how do you take that? Have you had the call about he looked horrible in that tie and you never wore it again, or that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, it's funny. I mean, people pick on you about the littlest of things. And that didn't used to happen until social media.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel bad for the females. I mean, I don't know why, but they tend to get picked on the most. April gets picked on the most, it seems like, and she's about the prettiest woman I've ever seen. So it's just part of the deal. You know that there are going to be people out there that like you, and there are going to be people out there that don't like you. So, you know, you just I do try to email people back. I mean, I get occasion. Your suit's too tight, or your tie looks ugly, your tie is crooked, and I'll write back, no, it's not the tie, my head's crooked, you know. I try to be funny, things like that. You know, occasionally I'll have people emailing me. I didn't say thank you to Gina one day, so this woman emailed me, and she said that I was the meanest person on TV. So I wrote her back something funny, and then she wrote back something even meaner, and then I tried one more time, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to sway her opinion. But, you know, you just try to write people back, and try to be nice and say thank you. I appreciate the criticism, and I'll try to do better next time. I mean, you can't be jerks to people. That's not what we're doing here. So you just realize that some people aren't going to like you, and that's the way it goes. But you just come to work the next day with a smile on your face.
Yeah, and you've been doing it well for many, many years. I appreciate the time on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you so much, Brad. We miss you around here.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it there. Scott Passmore on the Arizona Media Podcast. Appreciate him being on board.